Sing some with you. We're going to sing some for you right now. Charles is going to sing one for you.
I'm sure we must have been. The message from
so far. And as he held the Savior in his arms, he must have thought, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why with all the rulers and the world?
This is a little reading. This lady was reading a Christmas story, and she just wondered to herself, what did Mary think? How did she feel? For Mary, carrying the Son of God was costly. No one would have believed she was a virgin. Her premarital pregnancy was scandalous, bringing disgrace to everyone affected. Yet God had called her to this. He had entrusted her with carrying his precious Son, who would reign over the house of Jacob forever. Mary had been given the incredible honor, and so she might have expected something notable to happen before Jesus' birth. Earthly kings had fanfare associated with them, how much more the Son of God. So Mary may have felt disheartened as she treads the last stages of an inner pregnancy to Bethlehem, about 80 miles away, with no one's help but Joseph, her espoused. Where was Joseph's family? They must have gone to Bethlehem for the census, but no one seems to be appeared accompanying this couple. Were Mary and Joseph not welcome with the rest of the family? All we are told was that the couple went alone with nowhere to sleep but a stable. And as she delivered Jesus, did Mary wonder why God had not intervened? Scripture doesn't record his birth as anything but ordinary, messy, bloody, the way all babies are born, and then wrapped in swaddling clothes and as according to the custom. But where to lay him? In such a familiar society, surely most women would be surrounded by relatives eager to rock a newborn, but Mary and Joseph were alone and exhausted. So where in a drafty stable of beasts do you lay your infant son? They chose the manger, a crude feeding trough for animals. It was the best they could do under the circumstances. I wonder what Mary thought as she placed Jesus in a manger. Was she hesitant to place him here? Did it feel safe? Did Mary and Joseph have to shoo the animals away? Did seeing the manger highlight for her the desperation of her situation? As she watched her sleeping baby, did she wonder if this was really what God had planned? And then the shepherds came. They told the young couple all that had happened, angels proclaiming his birth and saying God's glory. Must have thrilled Mary to hear the shepherds' account. Though she and Joseph had been alone at his birth, heaven had been rejoicing, and the heavenly hosts had sent these shepherds to come and worship Jesus, confirmation that her sleeping baby was indeed God, the Son of God. And how did the shepherds find them? How did they know it was the Savior, the manger? The shepherds knew it was a Christ child because of the manger. That was a sign from God. The angels had said, "This will be a sign unto you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." There might have been other babies born that night in Bethlehem, and they may have been wrapped in swaddling clothes, but no other child would have been laid in a manger. This manger, this messy, dirty, smelly feeding trough was a sign that God had used to show the shepherds where the Savior lay. Signs in the Bible are significant. Gideon's was the fleece, wet ground, dry ground, vice versa. Hezekiah's sign, the shadow went backwards. Ahaz, the sign, a virgin shall conceive. All these were miraculous, extraordinary, and unnatural. And so as Mary put Joseph in the manger, it must have felt unnatural for her to do so. No one expected to find a baby in a manger, let alone the Son of God. It was as remarkable as the other signs. And when the shepherds had told Mary of the sign, it must have been amazing confirmation to her, one that she treasured. The manger had been God's ordained all along. She hadn't expected God's notice. Perhaps Mary needed a sign as much as anybody else. She knew she was in God's will and God was still with her, that she was being used of God. The manger highlights the way God uses our deepest pain, our humiliation, things we wish were different, the despised, the lowly, to bring him the greatest glory. God's kingdom is upside down. The last shall be first, the weak shall be strong, and the foolish shall shame the wise, and God incarnate shall be laid in a manger.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today
in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord's told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Joseph, Mary, and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed. They were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary, she treasured up all these things, pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they'd been told.
Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 14. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, and it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. Many believers often look up to the sky and ponder at the majesty of God, who sent his Son, Jesus, to earth on a night such as this for the salvation of the world, and worship and praise him as we look forward to all of eternity with him.
Da-da.
Jason, yes. At this time, I want to bring a young lady from our church, Miss Ella Sylvie, up and sing this song with us. I know she loves the Lord because on Sunday morning, I look out there and she's singing with everything she got inside there, and it shows on her face. So she's coming up here and singing with us, Away in a Manger. Yeah, you can stand up on this. To play for you, and I give you two people that love the Lord with all their hearts, Cloris and Teresa. Thank you. Stand with us.
Let's give them another round of applause. Thank you. so much, praise team. Thank you, Mark. You guys work tremendously hard, and hopefully that has blessed you and has helped to usher in at least some of the traditional festivities that you guys get into during Christmas and Christmas Eve and all those things, whether that's good food, opening up presents, kids, and those type of things. Always great to be able to get ushered in that way. But it's also a great reminder, as Randy read iteration of Luke chapter 2, I would challenge us to read that passage of the first Christmas and to look at the humbleness in which Christ was born. And what it does is it reminds us the purpose for which he was born. How much more should the Lamb of God be born than in that humble way? And so it just reminds us that the greatest gift that we could ever receive during the season is salvation that comes only from the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so if you don't have that, if you don't trust and believe in the power and the work and the person of who Jesus Christ is, we'd encourage you to accept that gift even this time. And we would encourage you to do that. If you don't and you want to know, feel free to reach out to myself, one of our staff members, one of our elders. We'd love to be able to share what that looks like with you. All right, so always remind us that, hey, Christmas, Jesus is the reason for the season. That's why it's called Christmas, from Christ. So let's always remember that. So let's go ahead and close in prayer. Dear God, we come to you just thanking you for who you are, God. Thank you for sending down your son, God, to live the life that we live, God, and to ultimately die on the cross for our sins. In the humble way that he came, God, just shows us that you have asked him to be the lamb, the final lamb, and the final sacrifice for our sins. And so as we think about this Christmas season, may we remember that. May we remember that child in a manger that laid there, God, laid there for a purpose and a reason, to ultimately die on the cross for our sins and pay the price that we alone could not pay. And so we thank you, God, we praise you, we give you glory. May we have a great, great Christmas time celebrating your birth, God, but also enjoying the times that we have with one another. We thank you, we praise you, we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.